Chapter 16. London warmed up slowly, but the promise of spring only brought more rain. Alvy was no outdoorsman, but even she had begun to ache for some sun. Fortunately, 2 weeks before the Discovery Convention, sunshine came to her. She was studying a new homework assignment on the properties of glue in her workroom when Mr. Hemsley arrived. He stood outside her open door, his nose slightly pointed upward, and announced, "Mr. Cooper to see you? Again." He departed without further ado. Alvy sat up straighter as Bennett slipped into the room. He grabbed the back of the other chair and pulled it over to her desk. When he sat, his knees touched hers, and a tingle traveled up her thighs and clear into her jaw. He held up a piece of paper. She read, "Number 1, something to open a door," before Bennett lowered the paper again. "It's for my test," he grinned. Alvy jumped in her chair. "You're doing it, then, officially?" He nodded. "I've been thinking about what you said, and I decided to go for it. April 16th is the day." He let out a shaky breath. "I'm nervous, but I think I can do it. There's a whole list of things I need to fold and then present to my mentor and the other magicians who will be on my board. I might make 2 for each one. There's no rule that says I can't." She grabbed his hands, careful not to wrinkle the test. His hands had become incredibly familiar to her over the last few months. He wasn't shy about holding her hand, touching her shoulder, but Alvy still dreamed about the eventual kiss and hoped it was indeed eventual and not impossible. "Oh, Bennett, I'm so happy for you. You'll pass, I know it." He smiled and ran his thumbs over her knuckles. She released him so he could fold the paper and tuck it inside his jacket. "I hope so. This means I'll be busy, though, again," he sighed. "I brought you this." He pulled a little booklet out of the same jacket pocket. Alvy instantly recognized it as a collection of mimic spells. She and Bennett had filled the pages of the last one to every edge and corner. "Since I won't be able to come by..." "Perfect." Alvy seized the book and flipped through its torn blank pages. "I'll write in it every day." Bennett seemed relieved. Fiddling with a button on his jacket, he said, "You leave for the conference on the 19th. 18th, so we have time to travel and set up. Magician Pratt said he wants to head out by noon. Do you need any help, loading anything?" An idea sparked in Alvy's head, one that made her smile, though she tried to hide the expression, as if Bennett might see the secret spelled out on her teeth. "Yes, I think that would be wonderful, if you can get away." "I'll make sure." His expression softened. He took her hand again, which only made her grin expand. It seemed too good to be true. Not only to know a man as kind and wonderful as Bennett, but to have him treat her this way, like she was important to him. She found her gaze traveling up his arm to his mouth. Despite her disposition not to, Alvy flushed. Ethel had said Bennett was shy with girls, but one would think he'd have developed the courage to kiss her by now. Then again, the prospect made her inside squirm as though readying for a race. "Are you all right?" he asked. She cleared her throat. 9 o'clock, then. She needed him to arrive early for the surprise to work. "Just come back here. I'm sure Mr. Hemsley will be busy with other things, and Magician Pratt knows you're trustworthy." He nodded. "I'll be there. Promise." Alvy could barely sleep the night before they left for the convention, in part because she stayed up until midnight making final preparations for the prosthesis display, and then for another 2 hours putting the final touches on Bennett's surprise with Magician Pratt's direction. She'd asked Emma to wake her early, but Alvy was up before the maid could fulfill the duty. She took a bath and picked out a reasonable skirt to wear. There was a good chance she'd meet the convention chairman and other magicians upon arriving in Oxford, and she wanted to make a good impression. She tied her red apprentice's apron over that, then let Emma tame and pin her locks, which the maid then wrapped in a maroon headband with fabric flowers on it. It looked a little fancy, but Alvy found she didn't mind at all. She cleaned her glasses thoroughly, which was a tricky feat for one who couldn't see the smudges on her lenses unless she was wearing them, and headed down to the Plimmery. Though Magician Praff had stayed up even later than she had the night before, he was already in the lab when she arrived. They'd pieced together an ankle joint in February, and he was testing it against the floor. "Is it working?" Alvy asked. "Yes, quite well." Magician Praff straightened, his back popping several times as he did. He rolled his neck. "Ah, what an exciting time to be alive. Fred will be hooking up the trailer soon. You'd best set up before Mr. Cooper comes by." Alvy nodded. Magician Praff was bringing the Imagidome to the convention again, so its panels sat collected in a box in the foyer. She'd spent a lot of time with the dome pieces lately, programming new images to stun convention attendees. She pulled them out, sorting them by the tiny numbers etched on their sides. Then she began to build the dome, starting at the base. She'd be constructing it at the convention as well, and it never hurt to get a little more practice, especially when encumbered by a skirt. An automobile horn honked nearby. Magician Praff set the angle model on the island counter and hurried out, likely to see how Fred and the trailer were faring. Alvy settled the last pieces of the Imagidome into place and slipped out of it to examine her work. She smiled. The next couple of days were going to be the best in her life. She could feel it. The sun shined brightly through the plastic dome windows overhead, promising a warm spring. Alvy stretched as she stared up at them. She should get a ladder and make them transparent. This place could use a little more sky. Though the door was cracked open, she heard a knock against it before Bennett appeared. She hadn't seen him at all these last 2 weeks, even in a mirror, but she'd written him every day. She smiled at him, at his warm brown eyes and bright hair, and the nice button-up shirt he wore, despite the fact that he was here for physical labor. "Morning," she said. "Morning." His eyes moved from Alvy to the Imagidome and back. "Goodness, is this it? I don't know how we'll get it onto the trailer." She laughed. "It breaks apart, don't worry." He circled around it, studying the pattern of hexagons. He tapped his finger on one of them. "This is what you gave me." "Mm-hmm." He came to her side and took her hand. She wove her fingers through his. He ran his other hand across the scale-like texture of the Imagidome. "It's strange to think I'd be able to understand this if I'd become a polymaker. Ah, there are the seams. You don't regret it, do you?" He looked at her. "Oh, no. I was a little sour about being a folder at first, but in the end I'm glad for it. I think I'd struggle more with something like this. If nothing else, the shortage of folders promises job security." He moved around the rest of the igloo, bringing Alvy with him. "Think you could build a replica?" Maybe. She adjusted her glasses. "It would take a long time." She pulled him toward the short door. "Here, go inside. I want to show you something." His eyes lit up with curiosity. He crouched, opened the door, and crawled inside the dome. Alvy followed after him, tripping over her skirt and nearly banging her chin on the floor as she went. Once she straightened inside, she brushed the skirt off and closed the door. The interior was nearly dark, but not so dark that she couldn't see Bennett or the shapes of the hexagonal tiles. "Okay, close your eyes." "Are they closed? I can't tell." He chuckled. "Yes." She pressed her hand against the panel right above the door and said, "Image memory, October picnic." The enchanted scene bloomed to life, swallowing the tiles. She'd gone to Green Park to get a visual, though its trees were currently leafless and everything was dreary in the last weeks of winter. She'd improvised quite a bit. "Open your eyes." The picture gave off plenty of light to see Bennett's reaction. His mouth parted, and he turned slowly, taking in the scene. It looked like they were standing in the middle of a park, on a flat space near a rolling green hill. A large black poplar tree grew near them, its triangular leaves sparkling with sunlight. The Imagidome didn't have a floor, but around its border one could see the edges of a checkered picnic blanket, and a large woven basket sat to one side, grapes spilling out of it. In the distance, a little boy flew a red kite near a white gazebo. The sky shined a brilliant azure, but if one looked all the way up, it darkened to a rich indigo studded with stars, including the constellation Orion. Alvy dropped her hand from the wall and took it in, walking to Bennett's side. "Do you like it?" "It's amazing," he whispered, craning to see the stars. He reached his hand up, trying to touch them. "October picnic, since I sort of snubbed it before." His hand dropped, and his wide-eyed gaze fell on her. "You created this, not Magician Praff." She nodded. He grinned and took her hand again. "It's wonderful, and there will be another chance for an October picnic." Her heart beat a little quicker. "Really?" Would he still be holding her hand and visiting her and writing her notes all the way to next October? He studied her face, lifted a hand, and traced her hairline. "I would very much like that." They stood together, staring at each other for a moment. Alvy knew the look in his eyes, knew it even though no one else had ever looked at her that way, knew it even though her thoughts wouldn't quite process it, though her heart did, because it pounded against her breast with so much vigor that she was certain Bennett could hear it. He let go of her hand and took the arms of her glasses in his fingers, lifting them from her nose and sliding them up to the headband in her hair. It blurred him and the colors of the picnic, but it didn't really matter because she closed her eyes, lifted her chin. Bennett's hands cupped either side of her head, and his lips pressed against hers, warm and sweet, and oh, kissing was so much better than Alvy had thought it would be, or maybe that it was just true of kissing him. Bennett was close enough to her height that she didn't need to strain. He smelled like tea and anise and some sort of aftershave that Alvy greatly enjoyed. She breathed it in and smiled against his lips. One of his hands shifted to the back of her head. Hers found his waist. They were probably running long for a first kiss, but Alvy didn't much care. She tilted her head to kiss him better, and he captured her bottom lip between his. She sighed in the bliss of it, not just in the touch and the smell, but in being wanted and loved, and being very certain in what she wanted and loved. She leaned into him, needing to be closer. He broke from her for just long enough to take a breath before meeting her again, and Alvy took the opportunity to slide her fingers into his soft sunshine hair. Oh, she could kiss him forever. She was a terrible dancer, but this sort of dance was blissful and easy. Bennett's mouth moved against hers, and she parted her lips. "Alvy," Magician Praff called from the foyer. "Are you in there?" Bennett snapped back, and Alvy nearly fell into him. She clasped his shoulders for balance, swallowed. Yes. "All right, be sure to box these panels up soon." "Yes, sir." She clung to Bennett, listening to her mentor's footsteps move away. Bennett laughed. "Probably for the better." "I disagree." She reached for her glasses and positioned the large frames back over her eyes. Bennett was smiling in a soft sort of way that made her want to curl up against him with a good book, maybe even Heart of Darkness. He put a knuckle under her chin and kissed her carefully so as not to smudge her lenses. "You are one of a kind, Alvy." "I think you have nefarious purposes, Mr. Cooper. I certainly won't be able to concentrate on my display now." He chuckled. "I wish I could see it." He kissed her forehead. "You'll do great." Alvy beamed at him, then looked up at Orion. "Bother, I should probably take this apart." "I'll help you, and show you the real constellation when you return." She grinned at him. This time, when she exited the Imagidome, she bunched her skirt up between her knees and miraculously did not trip. The trailer was a small white contraption that Fred had hooked up to the back of the automobile. It had smelting spells etched into the bottom of it, but Alvy wasn't clear on their purpose, whether they were intended to guarantee a smooth ride or make the trailer easier to pull. It seemed every servant in Magician Praff's household bustled around that automobile and trailer, carrying this, adjusting that. Emma even polished the driver's mirror. Bennett carried the deconstructed Imagidome up from the Plimmery, and Alvy had a plastic container full of various tuning tools. Fred jogged up to the trailer from the direction of the garage. "Everything is as it should be," he said to Magician Praff, who wore his green polymaker uniform. Magician Praff nodded as Bennett set his box in the trailer. "No harm done, then?" Alvy asked. "What happened?" The chauffeur shrugged. "Apparently I failed to lock the garage last night. Could swear I did, but I mustn't have turned the key all the way." Magician Praff said, "Why don't you make sure the engine is warm for the trip? And Mr. Cooper, thank you for your help." "It's no trouble," Bennett said. One of the footmen came up to the trailer next, carrying the display stands for the prosthesis. Alvy climbed into the trailer. She really should have changed into that skirt at the last possible moment, and began organizing everything as several footmen, Bennett and Magician Praff, brought the supplies up from the Plimmery. She opened each bag and box to ensure everything they needed was inside, despite having checked the inventory yesterday. She didn't want to end up in Oxford with something critical missing. The Imagidome took up most of the space, and the prostheses themselves were wrapped in sponged plastic for cushioning, making them bulky. By the time everything was loaded, however, the trailer was still a third empty. Alvy pulled some straps across the boxes and bags to keep them all in place during the trip. Emma appeared outside the trailer, her eyes scanning everything in it. "How exciting, Alvy! Can I help you?" Alvy turned and nearly smacked her head on the trailer wall. "Oh, no, we're all good." She jumped out of the trailer, her skirt billowing as she did. She brushed her hands off. "I'll tell you all about it. What do you... Oh, Emma, what happened to your hand?" Emma glanced down at her right hand, which had an angry red cut across the back of it, a crescent that hugged the base of her thumb. She frowned at it. "Usual wear and tear of service, I'm afraid. It doesn't hurt." She glanced toward the Plimmery. Mr. Hemsley locked the door and began the trek up to the automobile. Alvy gave Emma a quick hug. "I'll bring you something from the convention." Magician Praff took a deep breath, checked his pockets, looked about, spied Mrs. Praff at the back door of the house. He ran up to her to give her a kiss goodbye. Mrs. Praff had continued to be wholeheartedly trusting during the newspaper scandal, and Alvy admired her for it. Fortunately, thanks to lack of further story and Magician Praff's very expensive lawyers, nothing more had come of the issue besides that initial publication. The Discovery Convention hadn't banned him either. When Magician Praff returned, he was breathless. "I've never been so nervous for a show. You're bringing up my youth, Alvy." She smiled as her tutor checked the luggage straps. Bennett, whose shirt sleeves were rolled up about his elbows in a way Alvy quite liked, put his hands on his hips. "I'd best be going, then. You have the notebook?" Alvy patted the bag hanging from her shoulder. "I'll tell you everything that happens, and then you'll have to make another one." "I hope you do." He eyed Fred, who pointedly turned around and got into the driver's seat. Alvy kissed Bennett on the cheek. Then, after glancing about to make sure no one was watching, she kissed his mouth. "Study hard," she whispered. He took her hand and squeezed it. "I will. Be safe." "Yes, sir." He smiled and departed for the bends, just as Magician Praff announced everything was set. Alvy climbed into the automobile. This one had glass windows and was a little wider than the other. Alvy briefly wondered how much Magician Praff made to be able to afford two automobiles and a mansion. Would she ever have her own garage once she became a polymaker? Her own Benz? Perhaps Ford would have a new model by then, and she'd have one of those as well. Maybe she could rig something plastic in the engine, something that could make the vehicle run smoother but wouldn't get too hot. She'd present it at a future Discovery convention. What a splash she'd make if she drove the automobile right into the main hall and... "Alvy?" Alvy blinked, noting that Magician Praff had climbed onto the seat beside her. "Oh, sorry. Did you ask me something?" He chuckled. "Just making sure you have everything you need." "Yes, recheck the trailer, too." "We're set." Magician Praff slapped the back of Fred's seat. And we're off. Butterflies filled Alvy's stomach as the automobile started and pulled around the manor. She looked for Bennett's Benz, but he had already departed. She pulled the new notebook out of her bag and wrote on its first page, "We're off. I've never been to Oxford. What an adventure." She tucked it away. Bennett wouldn't be able to respond while he was driving anyway. They drove through London, past one train station, then another. Alvy marveled at how very old the buildings and bridges looked. Homes and shops grew smaller and more spaced apart as the automobile chugged west, until large stretches of green surrounded them on all sides. Fred gripped the wheel and jerked it to the left. "Bad road," he commented. Magician Praff began talking about last year's Discovery Convention. He told Alvy what she should expect, when she would have free time, and whom she might be meeting. There was a slew of names she couldn't remember, and the convention sounded even larger than she had imagined. Each material, plastic, paper, rubber, metal alloys, glass, and fire, had its own section, though rubber and plastic took up the most space, being newer disciplines than the others. They talked long enough for Alvy's backside to get sore on the seat. She glanced out at the green hills surrounding them, wishing she had some sort of camera to capture the shot. Had Bennett ever seen these hills? She was about to pull out her notebook to see if he'd responded, when the automobile jerked sharply to the left. Alvy hit the wall hard, pain lancing her shoulder. Magician Praff grabbed the seat in front of him. The entire machine shook and jerked. Fred gripped the steering wheel, cursing, but managed to lead the vehicle to the side of the road where it stopped. "Good heavens, Fred," exclaimed Magician Praff. "What happened?" "Don't know. The thing just went wild." He turned in his seat, and Alvy gasped at the blood trailing down his face from a gash near his hairline. Magician Praff yanked a handkerchief from his pocket and folded it. "Blast, Fred, hold this to your forehead." He pushed the cloth against the wound. Fred obediently did so. Magician Praff got out of the automobile. Alvy followed. Nothing looked amiss on the vehicle. The tires were all intact. The engine sounded fine, and no smoke came off it. Even the trailer looked whole, though it must have gotten quite the shake. "Turn it off, Fred." Magician Praff waved a hand. The engine cut. Magician Praff lifted the hood. Heat wafted from it and stuck to Alvy's face, but not an unusual amount. She said, "I wouldn't touch it yet." Magician Praff touched the radius rod and jerked his hand back. "It's still hot," Alvy finished. Magician Praff sighed. "Good thing we left early. You're familiar with this?" "Yes, sir, though nothing looks wrong on the surface. I'll have to get under it when it cools down, if it's even an engine problem." Hands on hips, Magician Praff walked out into the road and back a ways, likely looking for potholes. He shook his head upon return. In the cab, Fred groaned. "Probably hit the steering wheel," Magician Praff murmured, looking sidelong at the chauffeur. His gaze shifted, taking in their surroundings. They were between towns, greening land stretched out to either side of them. Alvy's stomach twisted. Magician Praff moved to the driver's seat. "Fred, are you all right?"
"Just a little dizzy, sir."
"Do you know where we are?" He looked up, one of his eyelids stiff with drying blood.
"I think we're close to Maidenhead." He pointed weakly toward a hill.
That was a strange name for a town, though Alvy didn't voice her opinion. Magician Praff nodded.
"I'll see if I can find help. Rest, Fred. Alvy, stay with the auto and keep an eye on him."
"Yes, sir."
He nodded. "I'll try to be quick."
He sprinted off the road over one of the hills. Worrying her lip, Alvy found a handkerchief in her bag and offered it to Fred. He was bleeding through the one he had. She stood near him as he leaned his head back on the driver's seat, eyes closed. She could see his pulse in an artery on his neck. After a few minutes of being extremely unuseful, Alvy stepped into the road, peering up and down its length, praying for another automobile to come by. There weren't very many automobile owners, but she could hope. Even a man on horseback would do. She knit and wrung her fingers together,
searching, waiting, but no savior came to their aid. A sigh escaped her. She glanced back at the automobile, the engine. She walked over to it and peered down at it again. It was still hot, but not burning hot. Still, she was careful where she put her hands as she leaned over the thing. Her eyes ran over the pipes, valves, and casings. Her lip twisted into a frown. Whatever could have... Her gaze caught on something near the cylinder head outlet hose, toward the front of the engine. Something sort of roundish, like someone had made a giant pig's nose out of very thick, opaque plastic. She racked her brain, but couldn't determine what part of the engine it could possibly be. Did Magician Praff put any spells in his automobiles to make them run better? Pressing her lips into a firm line, Alvy carefully reached down to touch it. The automobile protested, one of its many parts biting her just as her fingers grazed the object. She hissed and pulled her hand back out. Grease smeared her first two knuckles, and a long red line oozed angrily around her thumb. She shook her hand and blew on the cut before backing away from the vehicle. Her gut told her that wasn't supposed to be there. Hadn't Fred said something about the garage being unlocked? Fred. She needed to check on him. Cradling her hand, she called his name. He didn't reply. Nearing his door, she said again, Fred? I'm here, he answered tiredly. Knotting her fingers together, Alvy continued on to the trailer. There might be a bandage in there, and if nothing else, she should make sure their equipment had survived the jerking and jarring of the automobile. She opened the door. Several items lay strewn on the trailer floor. Grimacing, she knelt down and examined each piece before returning it to its place, ensuring nothing had been broken. The repetitive work was almost calming enough to make her forget the sting from the shallow cut on her right hand. She checked until her knees ached. Everything was put away. She stood and moved on to the Imagidome. She wanted to make sure it hadn't been damaged before she checked on Fred again. Just as her fingers brushed the box, however, the trailer door slammed shut behind her, leaving her in darkness. She spun around, heart in her throat. Fred! The engine started. Fred! She cried. She ran to the door, ran into the door, and pounded her fists against it, fumbled for a handle or a knob, but the door didn't open from the inside. Fred! Magician Praff! I'm in here! Help! The trailer jerked back onto the road, sending Alvy crashing onto her hip. She hammered against that metal door in the darkness and yelled until her throat was raw and her fists throbbed. Despite the cool March weather, the air within the trailer was sweltering. Already, loose pieces of Alvy's hair stuck to her forehead, and her glasses struggled to stay atop her sweat-slick nose. She sat down as the trailer took a turn, blinked a few times to clear her head. It wasn't entirely dark in the thing. A little bit of light seeped in around the doors. Her mind started calculating the interior space by cubic feet, but with a groan, she silenced it. That would do her no good, would it? She struggled to breathe the thick air, stood on shaky legs and felt around, but the trailer was solid, smelted metal, and the only exit was locked. Maybe with enough leverage and leaning, she could topple it and force the automobile to stop, but she'd risk damaging the trailer, its contents, and herself. Gritting her teeth, she did the only thing she could. She banged both fists on those doors, trying to shout over the noise of the engine and passing road. By the time the trailer stopped, Alvy was hoarse and heat-sick, albeit relieved. She heard footsteps outside the trailer. The door opened. The light was blinding. But it wasn't Magician Praff or Fred who had come to her rescue. It was Magician Azel.